guys don't wear white. Every day I work hard. At night I spend a restless time with the rich kids and all their lazy minds. They can't hold a candle to mine. Tell your mama and your papa. Sometimes good guys don't wear white. Good guys, bad guys, which is which? The right collar worker or the digger in the ditch? Man, who's to say who's a better man? From those two, that's the best I can. Best I can. You thought I had a dirty mind. All the messed up chicks, all the changing times. White film and easy living. You can't come close to the love that I've given to by your mama and your papa. Sometimes good guys don't wear white. They don't wear white. They don't wear white. They don't wear white.
Good evening, family. How are y'all doing this evening? That song right there was an old one from the 80s called Good Guys Don't Always Wear White by Minor Threat. I felt it was quite appropriate for tonight's show, which is titled Kilted Christian Episode 144, Good Guys Don't Always Wear White. We are many nations around the world, comprised of many cultures, but we stand together in a battle between good and evil. We're the seekers of wisdom, the bringers of truth, the hands of heaven, and the voices of reason. As the world tries to divide us by our differences, we only grow stronger as we are bound together as the children of God. I hope you all had an absolutely beautiful day, and hello to all those Christian patriots that I missed during the intro that I didn't get to say hello to. Hope you all had an absolutely beautiful day. Tonight is going to be me and Livin. Livin, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm always get a little bit happier when I get to see that beautiful face. So I'm certainly thankful that you're with me.
I'm thankful too.
Been busy the last couple of days, trying to get everything ready that we're going to for this trip we'll be taking. I leave on Friday, early afternoon, heading over to Missouri for the Truth Symposium event, which I'm looking forward to, and making sure that my mother's all set here and all my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed and everybody is happy. And I'm really happy because we may get some rain tomorrow. I've been waiting for that since April. So, yay.
Yay. Yeah, no kidding. It's pouring right now here.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had any rain chances in a while. We finally got a little bit. Didn't get any rain whatsoever. Now the chances are going up, which means that our low pressures are starting to come down from the north. And that means probably within the next few weeks, the Gulf is going to be pretty active with the low pressures and the very, very warm water. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But I'm thankful for the rain. I'm pretty sure Conley's pretty thankful for that rain right now as well. Conley, I hope you get some of this rain, buddy. I really do. It's going to be 92 degrees here coming in a few days. So I've got the blankets out. I've got the snow boots out just in case.
Snow boots. That's hilarious. Wait a minute. Do they have fur?
No, not these. They have a little bit of fur on the inside. When I was in Michigan, I had to wear some of these boots that you put over your shoes, which look like moon boots. I used to call them moon boots, just to keep my shoes from being soaking wet because I was the one out there getting all the sidewalks ready for everybody early in the morning. So, But tonight, we're just going to have a nice little conversation. I titled this one, Good Guys Don't Always Wear White, or I could have also titled it, Bad Guys Don't Always Wear Black. And the kind of the point of this right now is really just to talk about how hard it is to tell, you know, who the good people are and who the bad people are in our government, in the system, people running for office. It's just really hard to tell. And we had discussed on some prior shows about, you know, if the devil's standing right in front of you, he's more than likely the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Not an orange guy with horns and a and a hooves and a tail, you know, something that you just can't tell because, you know, once again, the devil is the angel of light, or he comes as the angel of light. So it's just hard to tell in this day and age who's good and who's bad. And when I decided to make this this morning, this, you know, this is the topic, I came across the video not even like 10 minutes after I made my decision. And it literally falls right into what we're talking about right now. So I'm going to play this video. It's like 15 minutes. It's called Why I Changed My Mind About Evil. I Was Wrong. And it's by Awaken with JP. JP's the long redheaded comedian that you guys have seen periodically. Absolutely hilarious. This isn't one of his comedic bits that he does, but it's still pretty funny the way that he does it. I guess when you're a comedian, even in your serious stuff, you can't help but crack some jokes, which is always good because we need a little bit of levity right now in this time. So I'm going to go ahead and play this video. Like I said, it's 15 minutes long, absolutely just brilliantly done, something that we're all thinking. A lot of us have come to the same perspective just over the last couple of years about, you know, how truly evil evil is. Because I think a lot of us had an idea of what evil was. You know, we had heard it here and there, but a lot of us, some of us didn't believe that the devil really existed on this earth. Some of us don't understand how demons are and could be right in front of you and you'd never know it. Just like with Christ, when the human came into the church with Legion, who was like multiple demons in this body. Like I said, it's one of those things you just can't look and tell anymore. And this video really goes over well about, you know, how to step outside and to see this evil. So I'm going to play this for you real quick, and then Liv and I will get into a conversation about this because there's a lot to talk about. Like, it's something we're dealing with every day. So let's go ahead and play this.
Hi, I changed my mind about evil. I was wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. Oh, and this won't be a comedy video. I'm sorry. But I think it's more important than that. I used to think evil was just some abstract concept, mostly an exaggerated word, but I changed my mind. Now I think evil is very real. I think the presence of Satan in our world acting through corrupt humans is clear as day. And I think the past 2 years have made that incredibly clear. In fact, with what's going on in our world, I firmly believe it's spiritual warfare. Now, as dark as the evil is, I think there's absolutely something you and I can both do about it. And to be honest with you, I think that good has a much better shot at winning than evil does. And in this video, I'll tell you why I think that, and also share with you at the end of the video, 5 things that you can do to ensure evil is defeated and that good wins. But first, I think there's 2 types of people in this world. Those who see evil and those who are blind to it. And those who can see it can rise above it, because they can see what they need to rise above. But those who can't see evil are not only more susceptible to being controlled by it, they probably will be without knowing it. That's why I decided to make this video, to help wake people up so they're not tricked into living in the dark nightmare of evil. Because evil doesn't look the way you'd expect it to. In our world, evil doesn't look evil, so you have to know how to spot it. More on that in a minute. Oh, and quick disclaimer before we go on. As I talk to you about good and evil, God versus Satan, I'm not a biblical scholar. My credentials in speaking on the topic are I'm a delusional redhead speaking to you based on my own free thought that I'm expressing through freedom of speech. Shall we go on? Great. Let me define evil for you. Evil, from my point of view, is anyone trying to control someone else in a way that's not in their best interest. Satan is all about control, and God is all about freedom. That's why God gives you free will, and Satan tries to get you to consent to enslavement. Now, with that working definition of evil, I know it's really hard to find evil people trying to control people in a way that's not in their best interest in our world today. Isn't it? Inject this into your body or you'll lose your job. Great, thank you for doing that. Now inject another one or you'll still lose your job. Stay home and don't see your friends and family. You better comply. Go ahead, little Johnny. Cut your junk off. It'll be good for you. You'll own nothing and be happy about it. How about a social credit score that determines what we allow you to do? Yeah, hard to spot any examples, but Just use your imagination if you have to. Recognize the deception. Evil doesn't look like evil. It looks like good. So evil doesn't show up the way you'd expect it to, like devil with horns or a guy wearing a dark hood, blood coming out of his mouth, and has a name tag on that says bad guy. People doing evil might be evil, but they're not stupid. So they know the dumbest way to trick you into doing their evil agenda is to have their evil agenda look like an evil agenda, because then they know you wouldn't do it. Tyrants don't show up saying, hey, we've got an evil agenda we'd like you to comply with. It's gonna be terrible. Now, would you like to participate? Evil always has deception and manipulation as part of it to make the bad thing look like a good thing. For example, this is for your protection, so it's good. Trust us. And if you don't trust us, you're a crazy lunatic racist transphobe. Or it's got coercion laced into the deception as well. You better do this or else. And this is for your protection, okay? One of the dumbest assumptions that mostly people with blue hair make is that evil people are honest. You're being a conspiracy theorist. Klaus Schwab isn't evil. I'm pretty sure he is. So what, with his plan to help humanity by controlling every human on the planet, you think he's just lying? Yes. Making the assumption that evil people would be honest, I think, comes from a noble place in people's hearts where they always try to see the best in humanity. It might surprise you, but evil people who are willing to kill men, women, and children are also willing to lie. Surprising, I know. But lying is like the least sinful thing they do. There's a saying, the devil masquerades as an angel of light. That means people with evil agendas will attempt to deceive you by looking like a good guy that's on your side. So expecting evil to show up looking like a helping hand is probably a more accurate expectation than expecting evil to show up looking like evil. I think it's also one of the most powerful things you can do to fight evil. You're recognizing it. Evil controls the ignorant. Now, I believe that many people carrying out evil satanic agendas are doing so while having no clue that they're doing so. It's much like someone who's under mind control by the CIA or the KGB. If you ask them, hey, are you being controlled by the KGB? They would say, absolutely not. Are you nuts? That's because a poor form of controlling anyone is for them to know that you're controlling them. Because then they're better equipped to do something about it and free themselves from the control. So that means the best way to control someone is to have them to remain clueless that they're under your control. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's how the devil works. It's like if you sat down with Fauci and asked, are you doing the evil work of Satan? He'd probably say no and put on a mask. Well, I wouldn't put on a mask, but I'd believe him. I don't think he knows. I'm sure he knows he's deceiving people and committing crimes, but I seriously doubt he has any clue how much he's being used to carry out pure evil. Now, that's no excuse for a guy like that because he's the one allowing it to happen, so still put them behind bars. Why evildoers try to eliminate knowledge of God from our world. I'd like to share with you the Daily Wire reported on a Gallup poll that shows the belief in God has been dropping. 50 years ago, 98% of all people believe in God. But present day levels, the poll shows, just 81% of people believe in God. The poll also specifically showed that today, 94% of conservatives believe in God, while just 62% of liberals believe in God.
With all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
The passage where you say, looking at the world today, God seems to be making a comeback, but this is a mirage. God is dead. It just takes a while to get rid of the body.
Not hard to imagine why this is so lopsided, as the left is implementing a very wicked agenda. For example, if you believe in God, then you can't really believe that God just mistakenly puts people in the wrong gender body. So we'll just get you to stop believing in God so that you'll believe that a lot of people are mistakenly born in the wrong gendered body. Let's just destroy a little objective God-based truth. Oh yeah, when we do that, now we can control you. Now hear this, my friend. There's a reason why Satan-controlled people actively want to disconnect you from God.
Ah, no, he's not evil. Yuval Noah Harari from the World Economic Forum. He's a good guy.
But I'm sure it's the other evil people that want you disconnected from God. That's because, for one, if you're connected to God, you'll be guided by his light, not their darkness. But if you're disconnected from God, you won't be guided by God. Therefore, your obedience is a much easier target for them. It's kind of like if you stop eating healthy food, you're much more likely to be eating junk food. And two, if they get you to go blind to God, then you're also blind to Satan, and therefore won't recognize their satanic ways and evil agendas. So getting you to not believe in God makes it easier for them to get you to buy in and participate in their evil agendas that they tell you are for your own good. Make sense? The evil sometimes looks insurmountable. I want to be honest with you. Sometimes when I look at the evil in the world and the power it has and the resources it has, sometimes I get forgetful for a few minutes and start to think, like, man, maybe good can't overcome this. They have trillions of dollars, and they control the media, they control big tech, they even control a lot of our government. We can't compete with that. But then I remember, oh, they have all that, but we have God on our side. Evil has a lot of things you can measure in the material realm, but we have God. Cool. That kind of makes me sorry for the evil people, because they've got nothing compared to what we have. Freedom wins, and what you can do. Here's what I believe you and I and anyone can do to disempower evil and empower good. Know your principles and values and stand for them. Give me liberty or give me death. That's a principled statement. People who don't stand for anything will fall for anything, but people who know what they stand for will fall for nothing. So know your principles and values and compromise them for absolutely no one. Honor your heart and gut feelings always. I think your heart and gut feelings are God directly communicating with you through your physiology. Don't see your friends and families and take this super untested injection. It's for your protection. That doesn't quite feel right, does it? When evil shows up masquerading as the angel of light, something will feel off in your heart or gut. Honor that, even though most of the time it'll feel more uncomfortable to do so. Now, some people actually do know what they stand for and they know what their heart's telling them, but they lack the courage of the warrior spirit to stay true to themselves. But luckily, you and I get to learn from this mistake. So have the courage of the warrior spirit, because the times we're living in call for it. Think for yourself. Outsourcing your thinking puts your thinking in the hands of someone else. And typically, good people don't want to inject your mind with their ideas, because that's a violation. But evil people always carry syringes and are eager to inject your mind with their propaganda. They'd even like to mandate it. See the evil. You can't get out of a jail that you don't know you're in. And that means you can't get out of an evil influence that you can't recognize. So learn to see how evil shows up and trust what you're seeing for yourself. Stay aligned. The more you and I can allow our words and actions to stay in impeccable alignment with our heart and our own critical thinking, the more we're allowing ourselves to express the will of God. But letting your words and actions fall out of alignment with what your heart and own critical thinking says means you're not letting the will of God express through you. So unapologetically keep your words and actions impeccably aligned with your heart and critical thinking. That's it. Thank you for going on this journey with me about how and why I changed my mind about evil and how I think we're living in a time of spiritual warfare between God and Satan. And with the five things that I believe you and I can both do to empower good and therefore disempower evil, knowing your principles and values and standing for them, honoring your heart and gut feelings, thinking for yourself, seeing the evil, and staying aligned. Please use any of them that resonate with you, because I think if we both do our part, freedom wins. In fact, I know freedom wins, because remember at the beginning how I said Satan's all about control and God's all about freedom? Well, we know freedom wins because freedom's God's way. What you and I get to do as proactive freedom lovers is accelerate the timeline in which freedom wins. So enjoy pissing on the dreams of tyrants with your liberty. Thank you for watching, and thank you for being on Team Freedom with me. Stay free, my friend.
All right. I have been a big fan of his. He is absolutely hilarious. This was probably one of my favorites. It was very deep. It was well thought out. And he pointed out just a lot of brilliant points that we have to deal with right now. When the devil's standing in front of you, when a demon's standing in front of you, would you know?
Friends and would walk up to me and just be like, what the fuck is in your mug? And boom.
But anyways, I know, technology getting away from me. But the thing is, we wouldn't know. And that's the hardest thing right now is, like he was saying, is that, you know, you can't control people that realize that you're trying to control them. That's the first step. And a lot of what's going on right now is nothing but these steps to control. This power struggle that they're going through is all about control. And that's one of the scariest things is, you know, the more people wake up, the more unpredictable the evil becomes, because it's going to do everything. It's going to throw everything, all these Hail Marys at you, in order to keep that power, to keep that control. You know, right now it seems, you know, one thing that I give Trump a lot of credit for is that he woke a lot of people up, because a lot of people, you know, there were some people out there that realized how corrupt the world is and how corrupt the leaders and the government are, but they were called conspiracy theorists for years and years and years. And then finally that group of conspiracy theorists just got a whole lot bigger, to the point now where people literally making jokes about what conspiracy theory is. It's 30 days from truth. And this truth is coming out more and more, and people are waking up to it because they're starting to realize that we are under control, that there is a lot of evil in this world right now that's trying to maintain that control. And like you said, there's a lot of people that are just doing their dirty deeds, that don't realize that they are serving Satan. You know, they're just... questionable people. And, you know, and they all deserve to be held accountable. But that's the thing, is that we have to remember that there are less of those Luciferian evil people out there and more just people that are, quote, doing their job. And that's why prayer for your enemy is so important, because a lot of those enemies that we have don't even realize what they're doing. They're just doing their job, you know, and God can turn those hearts around. So what did you think about that? Did you get to hear that?
Get to hear some of it, yeah.
Okay, so what did you think? Wasn't that brilliant? Like, I mean, the way that he proposed it.
Oh, it was very well done, yeah. Definitely well done. He's great. And, you know, the evil, I mean, it's really sad to say, but there are a lot of evil people out there, you know?
There are. And... you know, one thing that I've been seeing a lot of recently was people talking about Romans 13. And it's funny because, you know, we had said before is that when people read certain scripture or whatever, you know, you hand it to 10 people and you may have 5 people that read it completely different from each other. And one thing that Operation Heal America pointed out, he said, did you know that most Christians do not understand that Romans 13 is Paul's treaties for good and godly government is supposed to operate, not a mandate to submit to the ungodly, the corrupt government that are acting illegally, immorally, and unbiblically. And, you know, some people were arguing that it says, you know, this is where it says to follow the laws of the land, but, you know, it's God's laws. And he specifically mentioned that these weren't the doers of good, but the ones that were doing for evil. And we have to be cautious about that. And this is exactly what we're watching right now around the world, are all of these leaders, people often that we thought we could trust. That's why we're at a point now where you really don't know who you can trust. Because if you guys, you can agree with me probably, is during the Trump administration, there was a lot of people that we really looked up to. People that we absolutely thought that we could trust, because, you know, someone that we thought we could trust, Trump, ended up picking these people to be part of administration, you know, Pompeo, Christopher Wray, and many, many others, Bill Barr. These are all people that I think a lot of us trusted during the administration. And then once things got over, you start to wonder which of these people are legit, trustworthy, true Christian people, and which ones are just playing a part. But you also have to realize that there's people out there, if there are good things going on in the background that we can't see, that are double agents. So they're basically good people pretending to be bad people who are ultimately good people. And that's why I named this this show Good Guys Don't Always Wear White or Bad Guys Don't Always Wear Black. It's not cut and dry anymore. It's not black and white. You know, when Jesus was in the Mountain of Olives, he actually warned us that there'd be a time where brothers turned against brothers, friend against friend, and that the people, the electors is what it said, the electors, so I'd imagine that would be the government officials, would also, you'd find out that they weren't on our side. And this is what we're seeing right now. You know, we've got a great example, I think, is Liz Cheney. Like I never, once I realized the extent of the evil and how basically every president since the 18 or late 1800s, after the 18th president was a null and void president, wasn't legit. This is where the corruption really, really began. Therefore, anybody that came in after that was very questionable. Including the Bush family, who, you know, back in the day when the Bushes were there, wait for it, guys. You hope you're sitting down. I was a liberal, and I couldn't stand the Bushes. Yeah, I saw that from the get-go, you know, with 9/11 and everything that took place in 9/11. And I was under the same impression. That's why I have a little softer of a heart for a lot of these people that are lost right now, is because there was a time where I thought that I was the freedom fighter. You know what I'm saying? The liberals were the freedom fighters. The hippies of the day were the freedom fighters. And the further we get along and what's going on, you know, I came to realize, like, holy moly, they're all bad. There's nobody good that's running for or being placed in the president. These aren't elections, they're selections. And, you know, so I immediately went to being liberal to anti-establishment completely. Yeah. And when Trump came along and started doing, you know, he did his first couple of rallies back when he was first running. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to listen to him because I couldn't stand Trump. I was like, there's no way you will ever see me mark a check mark next to Trump's name on a ballot. But I'm also one of those people that will at least listen, because if I'm going to dislike something, then I'm going to have a reason that I dislike it, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to at least listen to what Trump had to say. And he started to sound like me, you know, at that point, like very conspiracy, you know, all the stuff that he was saying. I was like, man, I'm actually enjoying the very least enjoying these rallies. And, and what really brought me around to, you know, I guess it brought me into being a Republican at that point, was I realized that if the people that I don't trust, the media, the deep state government, hate Trump so much and are willing to do everything that they possibly can against him, then he must be more legit than I think.
And yes, exactly.
So I didn't vote that first election, didn't vote at all. I'm like, you know, I'm still not going to vote. But it wasn't like 2 months when Trump came on that I was like, you know, he's actually, you know, everything he promised, he's doing. And I was very overall, and I think you're on the same boat as me, we're very impressed with what Trump did, or what we saw, what we noticed during the administration. Since then, there's been a couple of things that have really brought me to question. But any honest, loving Christian, if they feel something's wrong in their gut, should absolutely pay attention to it. And there's nobody on this land that should be idolized. And one thing that I noticed about, you know, Trump particularly, is a lot of people were kind of idolizing him at a point. Then I have my issues with him pushing the jab. I have my issues with a couple of things that he signed during his administration, which has kind of got me in a limbo right now. Like, I don't distrust him, but I'm definitely got my eyes wide open.
I could see that. I can say that. When I started, like, noticing Trump, though, was back when he was, you know, just him being a citizen and stuff like that, when he was doing for a lot of people, the Black community, the Hispanic community, with you know, all that. And I really liked him, and I thought he was funny, but I also thought that he, I really didn't think he was like a sarcastic, you know, sarcastic look at me kind of a billionaire. Yeah. I didn't feel that way with him. He was like, you could work alongside of him and you wouldn't know that he was that. That's how I felt about him way back, you know.
Before, I felt the opposite.
Yeah, now, you know, he did a lot for our country. And yes, there's quite a few things that I don't agree on and would like some answers about. But when I look at the big picture, yeah, you're right. We can't trust, I don't trust a lot of people. And, but when we look at a big picture and I look like who's in, you know, kind of like saying they're going to run and they're thinking about, you know, 2024, I don't see one person so far out there that I would say can take us out of the mess that we're in right now.
Only God. Just God. And that's where all my faith is right now. I'm very cautious about everything at this point, you know, no matter who it is, even the people that I thought I could trust. You know, like I said, I've been let down by a lot of people that I've met in person. And I was like, man, you're just amazing. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing for this country. Only to find out like months later that they weren't necessarily doing what we thought they were doing. And
you know, and I don't idolize anyone. I really don't, God, but as you know, on earth, I do not idolize anybody.
Oh yeah.
I have never have. Well, because they're going to let you down anyway at some point.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, God warned us about idolatry, you know, for a reason. And, you know, it's one thing is that we'll see where all this takes us. You know, I mean, if you were to have this election, the presidential election today, chances are I'd vote for Trump. Because, you know, my other options are more than likely going to be people that I absolutely do not trust. But I'd still be super, super cautious because, see, here's the thing. The devil's games, they're not cut and dry. They're not like, you caught me. All right, man, you're good. You saw right through me. I didn't like that. Like, they play double agent as well. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the devil put something in, you know, in order to create this imbalance and friction between the two sides, only to get everybody over leaning one way, and then they end up doing the same thing that the other person that you thought was in there would be doing. We're living in those days now, but we should absolutely question everything.
I mean, look what's happening. I mean, how can you not question everything and be like, you know, it's mind-boggling what's happening right now. And I really wish that, you know, we could go back and fix this election and get that straightened out, because I don't think 2024 is going to produce anything that, you know, we're going to be happy about.
Well, we're at the point.
Not unless there's just some, you know, godly interference.
Oh, yeah. And I trust, you know, God's got his timing. We don't know that timing. Just like with rapture and all the other things that we know that are prophesied in the Bible, are these things coming? Yeah, it says it in scripture. Do we know when it's coming? Absolutely not. Do we know how it's coming? No, we do not. And, you know, so like I said, it's always good to have your soul prepared now to find that relationship. But we don't know how long all this is going to play out, or how this is the politics of this are going to play out. Because I hear and you know, my guys are, you know, tell me what's going on behind the scenes, but we can't see it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And even
glad that your guys are telling you that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen things with my own eyes. But in the big picture, you know, what if what we're watching politically isn't good versus evil, but two evil factions trying to gain the power themselves? You know what I'm saying? So even though we think there is one good and one bad, you know, maybe one's just a little better than the other. You know, like these guys aren't child traffickers, but they still want control of you, the world, and to enter us into this transhumanism world. You know, Trump seems to be on board with technology and transhumanism. I'm regardless what I do with podcasts, with videos or anything like that, I'm not a big fan of technology in general. I give all of this up in a heartbeat, and I would just start writing stories to read the kids around the campfire. That's what it came down to. But you know, putting your brain into a cloud, you know what I'm saying? Or downloading technology into your brain, you know, you, right now.
That's I'm not for that.
No. And like, you know, right now we're dealing with control on a different level. We have the MK mind control, like people doing things they don't realize they're doing. You've got programming control, which comes from, you know, people and children watching television and movies and having repetitious things over and over again, and they don't realize that it's, you know, persuaded the way that they think. Then we have the control of political power, which we're dealing with. But this transhumanism and loading your brain into a server and downloading stuff is a whole different level of control, because you're basically giving people, like, you've handed over your free will at that point.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I mean, and there's no going back.
No, huh? No, absolutely not. Once you do that, it's done. They control you.
100%.
Just think they control everything.
Absolutely. And you know, we're watching around the world as, you know, people are starting to stand up. One thing that I noticed, you know, that I saw a lot of the Democrats today and a lot of the rhinos, Geraldo Rivera and, you know, the rest that you're used to being idiots, were coming out saying, you know, people voting against a hero like Liz Cheney is just showing, you know, that these people are all brainwashed by Trump and blah, blah, blah. Well, one thing that I can say for sure is that a lot of people are where we are, where we're questioning everything right now.
Yes.
And and this isn't about Trump. The reason that people,
it has nothing to do with Trump.
No. The reason that people went out and voted the way that they voted, with all of these quote, you know, Trump people, is not because of Trump. It's because we're tired of other people thinking that they know what's best for us. We're tired of the Geraldos. We're tired of the Cheneys, the Kissingers, all these people out there that are making decisions and trying to tell us this is the way that it should be. People are tired of that. We're seeing through the evil right now. And the last couple of years, most people were on board with, like, the Democrats are so evil, the Democrats are so evil. A lot of people are having problems realizing that both parties are evil.
It's not just, it's both.
Yeah.
And you know, money talks too. Evil.
It really does. And
the root.
I was talking to someone last night that was basically pointed out something perfect. Is that these freshmen that may have good ideas and values. Like, if you're going into Congress or Senate or any kind of government, you need to have a heart of gold and a will that is surrounded in God's armor. There's no walking in there as just some regular person expecting, like, hey, I've got good intentions right now, because they get on you immediately. They instantly are trying to change you or to get you to do something corrupt or to fall in line with them, and they will pressure you and pressure you and pressure you. Some it takes a little longer than others, like Kyrsten Sinema seemed to be all right for a while. Joe Manchin seemed to be all right for a while, but ultimately what happened? You know, we were discussing right before the show that one of the reasons that Manchin made the decision and backed this ridiculous bill, which is ultimately the new Green Deal. They try to say, they call it, you know, the no more inflation bill, whatever the title was. But
yeah,
this was literally full of pork. And they always throw little things in there. For instance, lowering the price of medical medicines or, you know, medical products and stuff. That's a great thing, right? But the reason that they throw these in there, trust me, the Democrats don't care if you're paying $500 a month for insulin or $20 a month for insulin. They throw this stuff in there because when you don't vote on these bills, then they come out and they do the wrap-up smear slam all over the news going, these Republicans, they hate Americans and they don't want people to have affordable medicine. That's why they put these things in there.
Oh, yeah.
But the majority of it is pork. Has nothing to do, anything that's going to help us out. You know, it's get solar power on your house, get electric cars and all this other stuff. We're going to give you $7,500 in tax credit. But what happens? these car companies that produce these electric vehicles raised their prices $7,500. So ultimately, that $7,500 tax credit you just got went out the window.
Exactly. And people fall for it. That's just what blows my mind.
Oh, it is. But that's
there are people who fall for that.
Oh, no, but that's the importance right now of people recognizing what evil looks like. And first, like he said, is you have to understand is that evil doesn't present itself like evil. You know what I'm saying? If the devil was to stand in front of me looking like what we picture the devil as and said, I want you to go do this, I'd more than likely do the exact opposite of what the devil just tried to tell me.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to come in the disguise of good. And the disguise of beauty, like, you know, the devil masquerading as the angel of light. It's becoming a little bit more obvious, but right now what's happening is the Democrats have no problem exposing what they plan on doing. They're not even hiding it anymore.
And they used to.
They used to.
Yeah, they used to.
Exactly. The Republicans are hiding everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, completely hiding everything. You know, history has removed a lot of the information. You know, I've seen, I can't tell how many videos I've seen of people asking people on the streets questions, you know, like, you know, what party was responsible for freeing the slaves? Well, it was the Democrats. I'm like, no, you realize that the Republican Party was started as an anti-slave movement and that Lincoln was a Republican. They don't realize that not only were the majority, like 20 something of the first Congress, black Congress people in the government, you ask these people that question, who were they? They were Democrats. And they were like, well, the answer is no. The answer is Republican. Same thing with senators. The first Democrat, black Democrat female senator, first black senator for the Democrats was 1993. Can you believe that?
Oh, gosh, no.
You know, it's crazy because even me, like, I paid some pretty good attention in school. I love history. But there's a lot of that history that I didn't know that I have learned by, you know, building the videos that I build, you know, just doing my research and going, wow, I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. 1993. I graduated from high school in 1993. So the first 28 Republican congressmen, black, happened in the 1800s, in the early 1900s, like well before I was even born. And then it takes literally the year that I'm graduating high school, the Democrats finally get there. But no one knows that. They like to point the finger and, you know, or displacement. They point the finger and accuse you of what they are doing. And
they're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how they roll.
That's totally how they roll.
You know, it's always us. It's always, well, you're Republican, nationalist, or whatever. It's always us. It's not them, you know. And now, like you said, they're not hiding anything.
No.
It's just out in the open now.
No. So let me tell you about a couple of things that have happened just today, you know, that kind of showed the hypocrisy. First off, Texas, the military that's down there right now, National Guard, locked the gates, the open gates to the border wall here in Texas around the Eagle Pass area. Great, because technically, you know, how many times have you heard this new administration claim that there is no open border, the border is closed? I've heard it probably 2,000 or 3,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
So while they're standing there, the immigrants on the other side of the gate that's locked that they can't get through, the Border Patrol pops up and unlocks the gate. So not only is our border open, they literally opened it and allowed these people to come on through. So once again, the hypocrisy is right in front of our faces. We see this stuff unfolding every day. And then most of the world, or a lot of our country still doesn't see it. And it's not because they don't want it. They just refuse to see it. And it's not because they want what's best for the country. They just hate Trump.
Yes. And, oh, exactly. They could care less how many terrorists are all that can come over because they hate Trump.
Exactly. And loads of terrorists have come over.
Oh,
loads of
time.
Them have been caught, but that's not even, you know, counting the number that haven't been caught. I think I saw the numbers that we're going to be upwards of 2 million border crossings this year.
Yeah. this year. You know, and it was funny because I ran across this guy talking, and he said, why don't you stop and think about all the men that are coming over? And he goes, if you look at all the men that are coming over, he goes, it's funny because they kind of remind me of the UN. He goes, what if that's the UN fighters army that's coming in here? And because you never see any, you know, you very rarely see kids and women. I don't know if they take them to the side or whatever. But if you look at some of the men coming over, it's interesting. It's interesting theory.
Oh, yeah. Like mostly men. The children.
Mostly men. The children. Yeah, they could be UN soldiers.
Well, that's crossed my mind. I've even mentioned that like months ago on the show as a possibility. Because, you know, granted, there's weaponry.
Good way to get them in.
Yeah, there's artillery here. They've got the UN vehicles that people have spotted all over the country. It's easier to get those vehicles in than it would get the foot soldiers in here. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be one of those things as people start seeing blue helmets coming in here. A lot of people are going to be very upset and starting target practice. But, you know, if you were to sneak them in here via that direction, because it's not just, if it was all Mexicans, that'd be one thing. But it's like some Mexicans. And then other countries in South America, all the way over to China. And I mean, they're from all over the world that are coming across this border right now. And like you just said, it's the majority, not just men, but men that are like my age and younger. You know, yes. So they're physically capable men mm-hmm. that are coming in here. And trust me, they're not looking for jobs because these guys are well-dressed. They're carrying, I have an iPhone 6. These guys are holding like iPhone 12 pluses.
Well, did you see when they were getting off the bus in New York City where they're meeting them and shaking their hand and they give them a packet where they're going to get free room and board, money, IDs, and all that stuff in New York? I was shocked. I was like, and housing. Yeah, honey, and housing too.
But yeah, they're getting they're literally staying in 4-star hotels.
Yes.
You know, and I can't tell you the last time I stayed in a 4-star hotel.
Yeah. And that's right there. It infuriates me because what about our veterans?
See, and that's the thing. You know,
they don't do that for our veterans.
No, true freedom loving, country loving people.
Our fighters
automatically want them taken care of before illegal immigrants.
Exactly. That's not happening.
Well, we've got people in here that are struggling in general, just since this pandemic, that are like a bill behind every month. So it's almost impossible for them to be able to catch up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything's become chaotic. A lot of people are struggling. It's like, do I feed my family? Do I put gas in the car so that I can make money to feed my family? But people, like I said, there's just so much Trump hate that people are picking political sides. And you remember, it wasn't even 8 months ago, I was actively trying to build a third party called the Patriot Party. And, you know, something, because obviously what we're looking at right now, the people that are voting, they're voting conservative. They're not voting Republican anymore. And the GOP has walked away from us. Scott Pressler, bless his heart, is doing more for the conservative patriots in this country than Ronna McDaniel, who is supposed to be the one who's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, she needs to go.
Yeah, she does.
Really does. She should have been gone last, you know, she should have been gone after this election.
Oh, she should have.
Why she's still there is just beyond me.
Well, there's no way of getting out of this without both parties just completely crumbling to the ground. The House of Cards needs to completely fall to the ground. I'm starting to see some congressmen and senators now saying that we need to restructure everything, that we need to tear it down to the ground and rebuild it. I'm thankful to at least see them talking about it. But the problem is there's also a lot of lip service because it's like this every 4 years. You know, you get right before an election, and everyone's telling you all the sweet and beautiful things they're going to do for you. And then what happens? They nothing. Do none of that.
You know? It really is true. Nothing. They don't do anything that they've never followed through with anything they've said that they're going to do.
No, they Lindsey Graham us. That's what happens. They Lindsey Graham all of us.
So sick of him too.
sick of him as well. But now you're looking at young bloods, new faces that are coming in that that make America great. You know, like I said, I even want to walk away from the make America great thing and just be a God loving patriot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, exactly.
But that's what they do is they utilize these names and these groups in order to create more division between us. And there's already plenty of division. Fortunately, and that's what's happening is that a lot of the conservatives are coming over to the middle ground. A lot of the left are coming over to the middle ground. And now you're stuck with like crazy extremists on the right side and crazy extremists on the left side. And they call us the crazy extremists. And all we want is freedom. All we want is to be able to live our lives, to read our Bibles, to have conversations, to do a podcast without worrying that when I get done with the show, I'm gone.
Nothing.
or speak in my mind on Twitter. Like one of the biggest things right now that is just really irritating me is libs of TikTok, who literally all libs of TikTok does is go to TikTok or some of these other platforms, finds these insane progressives, takes the video that they made themselves on their platform, free will, nobody put a gun to their head, takes them and moves them over to Twitter and to Facebook so that we can see the insanity. And they go after her trying to say that she is a domestic terrorist by trying to start problems. And I'm like, okay, if she was giving an opinion, if she had altered or edited those videos in any way, I can see where you guys are coming from. But all she's doing is taking a video from point A and dropping it over here to point B in their own words. And now she is a terrorist.
Well, that's the same thing that just happened to me. I brought that video over that CNN was filming in Ukraine.
Yes.
I didn't even say anything on it. I go to get back. I post it, went about my way. And then the next day I went to go get on Twitter and it said, you had a violation. And I didn't even say nothing. I just took it over there and dropped it and just let it go. And I had to delete it in order to get back on Twitter. It's going to get worse. As a matter of fact, they're going after people that are disagreeing with the past election. And if you're saying anything about the upcoming election,
yes,
you'll get kicked off. But it's okay because I'll be on my 13th, 14th count.
Oh yeah,
I'll just come back.
Yeah, you'll be there on your another account. Eventually, they're going to catch up and you'll start looking at your IP address.
Right.
And they'll be like,
well, it's okay. I can change it.
No, you can. Your IP address is your IP address.
Oh,
that's like, that's your, that's the code that you get for the internet period. So you can open up 100 of different accounts. If they notice that it's coming from that same IP address, there's going to be a point where they won't let any new accounts be created from that IP.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not going
to
work.
Oh yeah. It's just, you basically have to go to someone else's house and use their computer to get something.
Right. But, well, shoot.
So we got hypocrisy number two. I sent you an article earlier that talked about Texas and a librarian and some people removing books out of a school or, you know, a certain district school here in Texas. And was it Anne Frank?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're removing Anne Frank's book.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I know you're already on it. If you can guess what that second book is that they've removed from the library and multiple more, but these are kind of the two biggies that stuck out. The Holy Bible is being removed from the school. So, so you can get books on
history is being removed.
How to be a rabbit when you're a human or, how to have transgender surgery and be the opposite gender that you are. You can get all these crazy books, like books on sexuality, books on sodomy. Like, and I'm sorry, but you know, literally all this kind of craziness is popping up in these schools everywhere and they removed the Bible. So they've already removed prayer. This week they've removed rosary beads.
Yes.
You know, they took the rosary beads out, calling that signs of symbols of domestic terrorism.
Yeah, you notice how they're doing all that, but you know, they're not, they don't take anything away from them that they think is just awesome. You know, like the protesters, I mean, they don't even go after them. But everything that has to do with God, country, freedom, anything, you know, history, they're destroying it. I don't think in generations to come, there's going to be anything that is truthful that the children will read in school.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, Moonwolf, 1984, Brave New World, Animal Farm were also books that are being removed. So yeah, basically anything that shows you what's going on is being removed from the schools right now. Bible's the biggest, and we knew they were going to do that at some point. They won't be able to come from our Bibles in general until they remove our guns. And that's coming, which brings me to hypocrisy number three. That's right in front of your face, that it's amazing that there's people that just don't notice. They've been trying to remove our arms. We'll just keep saying arms instead of the other thing. They've been trying to remove our arms for a while, coming up with all these excuses, calling them arms of mass destruction or arms of war or, you know, assault arms, you know, all these different terms, you know, trying to get everybody on board. So obviously the people that are two-A people aren't ever, we understand how important it is for us to keep these, because ultimately this is what's going to defend them from taking our Bibles. This is just how this works. They got to get rid of one before they get rid of the other. You know, crucifixes will probably be removed at some point or be considered symbols of terrorism or something like that. So while they're trying to remove our arms adamantly, always coming up with new excuses, going as far as creating events that take place around our country that tug on the heartstrings of people saying, yes, we need to get rid of these guns. Or arms.
arms.
So what are we dealing with now? So then we find out that the IRS has spent $20 million on artillery,
yes,
ammunition for mm-hmm. the same arms that they are trying to take out of our hands. And
yeah,
and it would be a little, maybe, I don't know, not for the IRS, but maybe a tiny bit more understandable if it was like trained FBI agents or people like this that had a background that this is part of what they do, but it's the IRS. And today I have seen four different videos of them training these IRS people in order to use these weapons against the people who aren't paying taxes.
And well, go ahead.
No, and they're not going after, they claim they're going after the wealthy, but this is how this works. There's a reason that Pelosi came out and said, you know, you're going to need, you know, expensive lawyers. It's because those companies, those wealthy people, they can afford the lawyer. They can afford that really good accountant that knows every single loophole that's going to get them out of something. They're coming for the people that can't afford any lawyer at all. People that make below 400,000, but more than likely the people that make less than 80,000 a year are going to be the ones that they target. Because what are we going to do? What are you going to do when the tax man comes after you and you can't afford a lawyer?
Yeah.
You know, basically like me, I represent myself until that corrupt judge says you're guilty.
Exactly. I think that we as a movement should all apply for some IRS jobs.
Now, I know I've actually thought about that, but I'd imagine that my application would probably throw in the garbage pretty quick.
Well, we're not talking you, babe.
Yeah. They'd be like, yeah, no, I'm going to rip this one up. I'm not even going to go through it any further. Yeah. This
but, you know, that's how you know infiltrate the IRS is with a bunch of patriots. That would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Honestly.
You would know everything that was going on.
Oh, no, totally. That would be great. I would love to be that inside source, and I could pretend. I pretend to play ball, but I'll be honest with you. I'm worried right now that I'm gonna come home. I'm gonna have a Kilted Christian show on Friday, and you guys are gonna be like, "Hey, why are you having Kilted Christian on Friday? I thought you were gonna be on an airplane heading to Missouri." And I'm gonna be like, "Well, apparently I'm on a no-fly list." That's my fear right now is getting to the airport on Friday and finding out I'm on a no-fly list.
Oh my gosh, don't say that. Okay, so Ray just says, or just get deputized. That's a great one.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. You know? And you know, your local sheriff can deputize you easily. When a poo hits the fan, we're going to be those deputies. And they are going to be the ones that are deputized. That's why it's so important, you know, to really get to know your local sheriff, because
exactly,
they have more power. You know, they're the ones that can boot out federal agents, not a police station, but a sheriff.
Well, that's another thing. Don't answer your door. If it's the IRS, don't answer your door. Call the sheriff.
Oh, I know, but you know, who knows generally who's on the other side of the door.
I don't answer the door anyway, so don't come knocking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always like looking out.
I don't open the door to anybody.
And if I see a whole bunch of three letters sitting out in front of my yard, I'm going to call sheriff department right off the bat and be like, and you guys need to hurry.
Yeah.
Because if you don't hurry, you're going to be coming to a crime scene.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. And that's crazy though, that they've done that, you know, and remember how we had that big ammo shortage. Well, now we know where it all went.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
And that's not even including all of the ammunition that was purchased during the Obama administration, all of the guillotines that were purchased during the Obama administration. And the scariest part right now about the IRS over any other agency is there's all kinds of like rules and stuff you have to follow. Well, not that they do, but they're still on the books. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like if you went to court, you'd still have that on your side ultimately and hoping that you got a good judge. But the IRS doesn't have any of those restrictions. They can literally come into your house and pew, 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 and nothing really that you can do about it. But these people that are being trained, they're not agents. They're like accountants, like literally.
Right.
Every single one of them looked awkward holding those weapons, because like I said, it's like normal people being, and all these people are going to end up getting like gun power or something like that, because they're ultimately given permission, even with the applications where they're asking people, you know, you got to be willing to shoot to kill, basically, you know, in so many words, they're getting permission. So the scariest thing right now is the IRS. So a lot of people are celebrating the fact that multiple people are talking about the abolishment of the FBI and that kind of stuff, where people are finally starting to openly talk about it. But here's the deal is, what if the IRS is just an unlawful group and unconstitutional people that are going to be replacing the FBI?
Oh, could be, huh?
Yeah, it's a scary thought. But it's really scary. Everything is just so up in the air right now that it's really hard to tell up from down or where we're going, you know, which is why it's more important, you know, than ever to pray every single day and ask for discernment, because, you know, ultimately God wins. And that was one thing that I loved that he said. He was like, you know, they've got all that money. The deep state has all that money. They can do whatever they want to. And he's like, but then I remembered, we have God. And I'm like, exactly. That's basically like us holding a nuclear weapon and them having Daisy BB guns. You know,
right. Like
we have the greatest thing that we could possibly have that is undefeatable on our side. But we don't know how far this is going to go or how uncomfortable we're going to get in the meantime.
I think pretty uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, I'd imagine so. Fortunately, we're somewhat, most of us, I think anyone that's, you know, watching this show, Bard's Nation, are more prepared than some people in this country, because we know what's coming. We know we're looking at the economy. We're making sure that we're looking at the food shortages. We're looking at the corruption in the government. People are waking up, and that's where evil loses control. Is when people start waking up, you know, and God's lifting that veil. And right now it's our job to grab people by the shoulder and turn them right towards that veil so they can get that little peek underneath, because that's where it all begins, is that awakening. And I done a video a while back called, sowing the seeds, and how important it is to realize that even the people that you're talking to may not wake up right now with what you told them, but they're not going to forget what you told them. And eventually something's going to happen, just like with my twin sister, where she saw something that was like, wait a minute, didn't you say that? And all of a sudden, boom, the plant starts to grow. And I'm seeing that with more and more people around this world this raid that took place really backfired. I mean, I don't know who did it, what purpose was or anything like that, but it certainly backfired as far as the liberals go, because it brought people that wouldn't have been Trump supporters over to Trump's side, because they're realizing how far our government is willing to go to destroy someone politically. And the sad part is, and I'm hearing this more and more, and this is really scary too, is how far will they go? Will they go as far as assassinating Trump in order to get him out of the picture? And my answer is yes. They definitely not out of their wheelhouse.
No, definitely not. I mean, look at how they're going after him now. I'm sure that he's got many body doubles, but you know, isn't it scary times to think that your own government and the country you live in is going to go after a president?
It is. And
it's just, that is just a scary thought.
It is. And that's the next point, is that people like he was saying, how important it is to know your enemy, to know what evil looks like, you know, using your gut, understanding when things don't seem right, you know, like, hey, you need to take this jab. Many of us didn't take it because our guts and our hearts were like, no, not a good idea. The importance of listening to that.
Yes.
You know, because like I said, right now it's becoming really difficult for us to tell what's good and what's bad. The best thing that we can do at the very least is just not comply. You know, that's why what worries me is people are like, yeah, well, you just need to stand your ground if the IRS comes to your door. And it's like, that isn't going to end well. You know, it's just not going to end well because I'm not going to surrender. And there's many people that are even braver than I am that are saying the same thing. I refuse to surrender, which is why it's really important for us to unify around the world and stand by each other, so that when something does happen at someone's house, we can gather there and basically shield, you know, make sure this doesn't happen. Let them know that you can try whatever you want to try, but it's not going to be easy, while also doing God's will. And that's where I have a lot of trouble. You know, we talk about all the time is like, you know, there's days that I just want to just run in with the sword and be like, we got to end this. You know, but you guys remind me all the time, it's not time. You will know when it's time to blow that trumpet and throw the rocks. You know, so, you know, and there's
people. But it's hard.
It is.
It really is hard at the same time because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of warriors in this movement. And there's, you know, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of warriors in this movement. And it's hard for people to sit back and watch this country being taken over by these clowns. And you do want to run out with your sword, because I totally get it. There's days I'm just like, screw it, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And there's people out there that are less patient than I am. And I'm not a very, very patient person. I'm always nice. But, you know, when it comes to, it's like, man, I want to fix this problem.
But then again, you're like, oh, how much can we take?
Oh, exactly. And
you think about that. How far are they going to push us? And we're going to let it happen. That's 100%. What I think about every day.
Well, Liza Nilliff, I hope I pronounced that correctly. She says, you know, have our cameras ready, record the whole thing. And it's a smart move. The problem with that is that if it's on like a phone or something like that, if you go down, all they have to do is turn your phone off or erase what you just filmed. So the key is to, if you can think quickly enough, is to go live on Twitter, to go live on some of these things. That way it's up where other people can at least see, talk, and spread. Wade mentioned, invest in surveillance equipment. I'll tell you right now, guys, surveillance equipment isn't really as expensive as you think it would be. You can go on and get used equipment off of eBay and some of those other things, where you have complete control of the cameras, where you can literally operate them from inside your house, point in whatever direction, move in and out, that are good for nighttime and daytime, that are recording on your hard drive in your house or a server or something like that, to where they can't get access to. So, you know, being a little prepared with that, but how sad is it that we got to get to the point now?
Well, you should have surveillance around your house anyway, I think.
Who, me?
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do.
No, yeah. Anybody. No, not you. Not you. You're up all night.
Yeah, I do. And I have a surveillance dog.
Yeah, exactly. But if you don't, and you're a single woman, or you have a family and you live in not so good of a neighborhood, why not put that stuff up?
Oh yeah.
I mean, and you know what? You could be at work and you could, okay. My brother has it up and he can be anywhere in the country traveling, and his phone will ding and it'll show you, it comes up in a video and shows you what's going on at your house.
Yeah. The problem with some of those things, the ones, you're better off going hardwire, because Wi-Fi things can be hacked. You know, like your doorbell ring and those things can be hacked by other people. Hardwire can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm
pretty sure, I don't know what he has, but it if someone gets in the area of his house and stuff like that, or in his house, it automatically sends him a picture of what's going on.
Oh, awesome. Perfect. Yeah. And that's handy too. And JW47OD, if I ever hear Candy Graham or Landshark, I'm not falling for that again. I've already fallen for it twice. Not falling for it again. Not answering a door for a Candy Graham or a Landshark. So,
okay.
You know that bit, right? From Saturday Night Live.
I don't watch it. I've never watched it. Okay. I watched one episode and I couldn't stand it.
Okay. Yeah. It was better back in the day than it is today. Back with just, you know, Chevy Chase and all those guys. That was pretty funny. Dan Aykroyd. Back in the 70s. Back in the 70s. So, I mean, so right now it's just a matter of, you know, being prepared, getting things ready. I'd recommend getting a good little pup. My dog definitely alerts me when somebody's at the door.
That's a wolf.
You generally, get yourself a wolf. Something that you open that door and you just say, get him.
Get him. Yeah.
Although,
but in a different language.
Although, Avalon, my older dog, was trained in Latin. Nobody else could command her. So, you know, but the problem is, I'll tell you right now, they'd be better off shooting me than my pup.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go straight up medieval if I hear my dog whimper. I'm like, you guys just made a big ass mistake. big mistake.
But the whole thing is, though, as far as the IRS goes, I mean, just claim exempt on your employment check, and you don't have to pay taxes. You don't owe taxes. They don't have your money.
Yeah, but that's
assuming. There's other ways to get around that too.
Well, no, but that's also assuming that these guys are playing by the books and they don't care about law at all or order or anything anymore. But technically, they shouldn't have raided Trump's place. But obviously they didn't care. Like I said, they will do absolutely anything to keep power. And, you know, we have the right. Here's this is the sad part. We have the right, constitutional Declaration of Independence, to overthrow a government that is usurping the people, that is screwing us over, that has gotten too big for their britches. We have the right to remove tyranny. But apparently I no longer have the right to tell you that you have the right, according to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, to overthrow our government. Because if I say that on a podcast or something, I can end up being what they call a domestic terrorist, when I'm literally like, that is the Constitution. I am nothing but a loving patriot. If I was a problem, you would have known by now. I'm a verbal pain in your ass. I'm not going to lie. I am definitely a pain in your butt. I'm an agitator. But I'm not an instigator, and I'm not someone who's going to go out and cause physical violence.
Oh, no. And that's the whole thing too. I mean, we do have the right to do that.
Yeah.
But
we don't have the right to think it or say it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Or apparently do it, because no matter how you look at it, January 6th, we had the right to do it, but they could, and we didn't, you know what I'm saying? It was very calm. And it's just amazing once again, how many people out there are still buying into the January 6th thing? It's like only people that died either died after the case from heart attacks or something like some of these police officers, or they were patriots that ended up dying. But we certainly didn't see the White House, or the, we didn't see any federal buildings getting burned to the ground.
No, we didn't.
You know, and the fact that you had maybe a couple of hundred people that went into the Congress building that basically did a tour walking in between the queues. Like literally it was like the least destructive thing I've ever seen. It was more like a vacation than anything. Yeah. People doing a little tourist trip around there. And there was still millions of people outside. Like if we were a problem, not only would you have known it then, you wouldn't have to convince people we were a problem. They would have seen it. But you still wouldn't have to be convincing people that there was a problem. Like I said, that we would still probably have control of that, because you're not going to just easily take down a million people. You know, the military is not even that big.
No. And January 6th just breaks my heart, though. I mean, you know, we have patriots in there that are committing suicide for this clown show that's happening. You know, it makes me sick to think that anyone would keep those people in office. They all need to go. It is thing what they've done to those guys and women.
They all need to go, and everyone that they put in place.
Yes, exactly. And so I read some stuff on one of the guys that was in there and about him writing letters, and it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that they're dragging it out until the election. And now that's something that I would do. I'd go down there and storm that jail, get them out of there.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
It's just bad. That makes me sick.
Yeah. And they put this stuff out, you know, in order to keep us at bay, to keep us passive.
Well, exactly.
Is the department.
Exactly what they've done. I mean, we can't even, you know, we even go to a rally or something like that. We're called a domestic terrorist. You know, we're at a rally. Of course, it's Trump, but you're called a domestic terrorist. Can you imagine they're probably doing facial recognition with those, what do you call those things that fly around?
Are the drones?
Yeah, the drones getting everybody's face so they know who you are.
Oh, that's probably, you know,
that would put it past him.
No, but that's why I have, that's why you don't see pictures of me anywhere. You don't see, because I knew that was coming, because remember I was working in a GOV when Snapchat, the original thing that they were working on was being created. So I knew what it was.
Yeah, exactly. So
by the time all this stuff came out, I didn't do any of those things. You don't see pictures of me. I avoid it at all costs, because that's how they get your facial recognition. So I keep it at a minimum. Yeah, but there'll be a point when the government really, you know, gains the control and they're like, nothing you guys can do about it anymore, where they'll force you to do that facial recognition. Then the chip comes, and then that's a whole mark of the beast thing you're having to deal with. And like I said, it's a step by step, but the first thing they have to do is get rid of the arms, anything that you can do to protect yourself, your family, your Bible, and those kind of things, which will never happen here. I will end up underground before I hand over any of that stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, they think that they can do that. They got another thing coming.
Oh yeah.
You know, I really feel that that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel back. You're not coming for our arms.
Oh, never. And you know,
and I'm not saying that, you know, you would get away with taking my arm either.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a fight. And
you know, I'm going to keep that right arm.
And you know, but I'm the same way, not just for myself and my family, but for everyone around me. Anyone that believes the same as we do, God loving, freedom loving American people. I mean, if I was in England, I'd be doing the same thing over there. Probably without a weapon, because they already took them away. Same with Australia and some of these other things. But, you know, if I was in any of your neighborhood here in chat, I'd be the first one on your doorstep if trouble came, you know, but we should all get that mentality of at least standing with each other and standing up for each other.
Well, that's the thing about like knowing your neighbors too. I mean, that's the only way that you protect yourself from, you know, what's coming, or, but, you know, and is to know your neighbors, because you can all stand together and be like, you ain't coming in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Problem right now.
We don't ask questions.
Yeah. The big problem right now is that so many people have been pacified into even being afraid to talk about normal conversations, mention what they politically believe, that, you know, because they don't want to have an issue with their neighbor. They're like, well, I'd rather just not talk to my neighbor than have a neighbor that hates me because I'm an American first person.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny you say that, because if you drive down your street and you see a bunch of flags, you know that they're pretty much patriots.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. But then again, there's some that don't put flags out because they're worried.
Because
about what
they're
happened.
Worried. 100%. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
on the street I'm on, there's like about 7 flags right down the street. So, you know, just like I said, you just got to know your neighbors.
Well, I've got three veterans in my neighborhood. None of them fly flags for that reason. Yeah. Right there is because when they had the flags up and the whole BLM thing was going crazy, everybody was afraid that their house was going to get messed up. So people started,
and that's putting fear into us.
Yeah.
Putting people.
Which is why.
How that worked.
Oh yeah. Now, you know, having the revolution flag, the Dixie flag, you know, the come and take it, you know what I'm saying? All these different things are called symbols right now of, domestic terrorism. Right here, it says the Department of Homeland Security says people who discuss election fraud and government overreach are now seen as a threat. So we can't even give an opinion. Anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
As to this or that happening, you know, So imagine the event that I'm going to this weekend, the whole event is nothing but civil disobedience. You know, people that are standing up for their freedoms, people that are talking about the election fraud, who are talking about the overreach. You know, right now you can't even say anything bad about the FBI, or you're making threats. And nobody that I've known has made a threat.
That's not going to stop me.
No. Well, nobody that I know has made a threat to the FBI. They've all said the same thing. That, you know, we need to abolish them. We need to get rid of them and start over with something that we can trust. That's not a threat. You know what I'm saying? That's reality. That's exactly what we need to do. You know, JFK tried to point that out and ended up dead himself not too far after he mentioned that publicly. You know? So this is what we're falling into right now, where it's anything can be considered a domestic threat.
Yes.
Absolutely anything.
And, isn't that sad?
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, the Patriot Act is a great example. Is a lot of people didn't read the Patriot Act. They, at first, people supported it because they were willing to give up some of their freedoms and their liberties for some safety. But then they realized that we didn't need that anymore, and they kept this thing going. Trump was one of them. Trump was the one that allowed them to re-sign this thing, which I one of the things that I question about him. But it has these little statutes and stuff in there that says if you were to gather at a protest and spit on the sidewalk, because one person spit on the sidewalk would give them a reason to remove everybody from that gathering. Like, there's all kinds of little tiny loopholes, which makes it impossible to be a good citizen. Because, I mean, let's say you dip and you spit. You know what I'm saying? That's not an act of war. That's not an insult or anything like that. But like I said, all these little tiny loopholes that they hide in there. To make it an impossible to be a good citizen. And January 6th was the biggie. Everyone was afraid to do anything, to speak their mind or whatever. There was a point where some of the podcasts died down a little bit. Fortunately, they've come back because we realized the importance of it. But that's the way that they do. That's the one way, the easiest way to control people is through fear. And, you know, I mean, think about it. As a conservative, most of us, I think in this chat, you know, you included, we're not racist. We're not bigots. You know what I'm saying? We believe about equality, not equity, but equality. You know, everyone should have the chance. You know, same thing as here. We may disagree with the LGBTQ and the people and what they do that are part of that movement, but we're not going to throw someone off a building because they're gay. You know what I'm saying? There's countries out there that do that. You know, we disagree, but we're allowed to have disagreements. That's the beauty about living in a free country, is that we can think differently. We can still get along. Wasn't that long ago where I knew people that were married. One was a Republican, one was a Democrat, and they were as happy as could possibly be. Mm-hmm. Now people, that's probably the first criteria when you're trying to date somebody is first question you ask them.
Ask what sign you are.
Yeah. No more asking the sign. It goes like this. It goes, are you allergic to peanut butter? Are you a liberal or a conservative?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it used to be, what sign are you? Are we compatible? And now it's like,
oh, yeah. And Conley points out, are you jabbed? He says, are you jabbed? That's another one.
Oh,
it's pretty big right now because the jab don't want to get cooties from the unjabbed, and the unjabbed don't want to get whatever's worse than cooties.
Yep. You know? Exactly. Oh, and shredding. No way.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get jabbed, babe, we're done.
Oh, no. I can promise you. if I do get jabbed with anything, it'll probably be what the government is using to put me down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you won't have to worry about it anymore because I'm not going to be shedding anything. I'll be shedding my soul.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. No, but you know, that's questions you got to ask these days. If I was single and I was dating, I'd be like, are you Jeff? Okay. What side of the fence you're on? You are she, he, him, or a, it.
Well, you could actually, you know, ask, I mean, I think asking them, are you liberal? And they go, yes. Then it'd be like, okay, cool. I don't have to ask you the rest of the questions. I already know the answer.
Exactly. Right. No kidding.
We've got this world of elites that are running, you know, pedophilia trafficking and stuff like that. A lot of people don't realize too, is that the on the raid that took place last Monday was also the day that they were supposed to release Hunter Biden's information to the Congress and to the Senate and to the public. Mm-hmm. And not one person has mentioned it.
Nothing. So what's that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you that they're more worried about Trump's documents that he took.
Probably why that happened.
And they're more worried about people that aren't paying their taxes than they are about pedophiles.
Yep. Don't even get me started.
I know. What a sad state of affairs we're in. And then you've seen the uptick in the monkeypox, which is really disturbing. I'm not going to say how these kids got monkeypox, but I will say that sexually transmitted is the main way to spread monkeypox. And the same thing with that dog recently that have gotten monkeypox, just happened to be, quote, sleeping in the bed with a gay couple. But it also turns out, and I'm sorry for the being graphic, but the dog had a butt rash. So every question that I had was answered in that one little article, even though they didn't come out and say it. You know, now you've got, polio in New York. You know, you've got the mayor who's literally like Liza Nilla says, telling you to drink their tap water. And how ironically timed was that?
Oh, no kidding. And then they have polio in the water.
Yeah, polio. And I've heard about
that was on purpose.
Oh, yeah. And now the CDC comes out and admits that masks were pointless, that the unvaccinated and the vaccinated are pretty much equals. And even that's a lie, because I'm also looking at an article right here that came out of New Zealand. In their own words, mainstream media ask a now forbidden question at 95% double vax people. Why is everybody sick? So the numbers of COVID people or people with COVID is now higher. That everybody's been vaxxed at this point right here, 95% is what this said. 95% double vax people.
So do you think that they're trying to, because they're getting sued. So you think they're trying to backtrack on all that information now? Well, we didn't know and all this kind of stuff like that, because I read an article that they're getting sued.
Yeah, but they can't. That's the problem, is that doctors can be sued.
Talking about the doctors.
Yes. And I think that's what's going to end up happening. That's how it's going to have to go down, is that these doctors and nurses are going to have to stop giving people the vax so that they don't get sued. And then that's going to be the way that these things stop. But keep in mind, is they're about to move to the next vax. Coronavirus will be a thing of the past here. They're going to move forward with monkeypox and Marburg and whatever else this is. And then they'll have a new shot that is under the emergency order, and which they don't have a track record of people getting sick, immune systems going down, heart issues, and whatever else. So it'll basically start the circuit all over again. You will have a group of people out there that refuse to take it because they understand at this point we can't trust them. But you will have other people that once they put what Marburg looks like on TV or smallpox, people are going to get so freaked out that they go out and get the vax anyways. And I saw the picture of the day, which was a guy that they put, he gets smallpox and, you know, the article, but deep in the article, it says that he didn't realize that he had syphilis and like two other things, which were immunocompromised. And literally his nose is rotting off his face. So what do people see? They see so-and-so has smallpox in the title of the article. Most people don't go in and read the articles, but they look at a picture of a dude's nose rotting off his face and they get freaked out and they're like, how much money? I'll give you $1,000, $2,000. Just make sure that I get the vaccine before anybody else does.
Exactly what will happen.
Scary times. You get
that coming.
Exactly. But it is 10:59. I'm glad I looked up at the clock. So we got a minute left. I'm going to do a quick little prayer and then I will get back to thanking you for joining me tonight.
Okay, babe.
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask thee, Lord, that you just continue to watch over all of us. Let us have discernment, patience, and courage during these times. Let us lift that veil up a little bit for us, dear Lord, so we can start seeing that truth. But let us find new ways, more creative ways to help wake people up. Not only to the deception that's going on around the world, but to what the evil looks like. And more importantly, get them on that path with God, dear Lord. We all have the ability to do and serve God the best that we can on this earth, dear Lord. So please don't let us get distracted. Let us walk that narrow path and get into our hearts more and more and help us get closer to you each day. I ask, dear Lord, for a special prayer to watch over Scott Kesterton while he's on his journey around this country to the events that he's going through, dear Lord. Keep him safe and keep him heading to the right places. He does so much good for all the people in this world, getting people closer to God, informing people of the truth. I just ask that you let this trip be as efficient as possible and let him just wake up the masses if possible. But keep him safe during this journey, dear Lord, because we know that the devil comes after those that work for you. But I'm grateful to know you, dear Lord. I'm grateful to be here every single night and have a platform to where we can just have a little church and be here with all of our family, which have become more important to me than they'll ever know. The blood that I had with my original family is not as thick or as strong as the blood of Christ that we are bound by with this group of family that we've gathered here on my show, on many other shows, dear Lord. I'm very grateful for that. But we love you, dear Lord, and we just ask that you just get into our hearts, forgive us for our sins, dear Lord, and allow us to be the best people that we can be and inspire others to do the same. Let's make those efforts to be here for each other, to give each other strength, but to change this world to what you had intended it to be, dear Lord, so that our kids won't have to endure what we have. Let us be the ones to fight so our children don't have to. I love you, dear Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, and our Heavenly Father's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Thank you. And thank you so much for joining me tonight. We will be here tomorrow night with MSM Liars. And it's going to be a great show, guys. We got a couple of topics that we want to talk about. So, heck, knowing me, we'll probably end up doing all those topics because I see a squirrel and I look away. I can't keep my attention. I seem to do a decent job today hanging on to the topic without moving too far off of it.
Did great today. I was expecting you to go all over the place and you did pretty good.
Oh yeah. We kind of stuck on topic tonight. And you know, I need to hand MSM Liars a virtual whip. So every time I get off topic, he's like, whoosh, get back on the topic.
Squirrel.
But I always love doing the shows with them because they're always some of the deeper things that we have. Yeah. So I want to thank all of you for joining us this evening. We'll be back tomorrow with MSM Liars. And then remember, I will be off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but I will be on live Bards FM. So while Bards is doing his speeches, walking around and hobnobbing with all of the Patriots, I will be in a chair with Hannah and we will be running on Bards FM on Podbeam and possibly video and audio to Frank's speech. And we will let you know as soon as we possibly can. And while Scott's on the road, I will be running, I'll be helping him out with his show. So if I am a couple of minutes late, and you guys know that I'm always dead on time to the second. If I am a little bit late, it's because I'm getting my show prepped after running his live. So just hang in there and know that I will be there eventually at some point. But I love y'all very, very much. I thank you for joining us for episode 144. Good guys don't always wear white. We'll be back tomorrow night for episode 145 with MSM Liars. I love you all, and I leave you with these words.
Good night.
Friends and family, don't ever forget that when the devil and our enemies find us on our knees, assuming that we've been defeated, that we're actually in prayer, which is the greatest sword in our armory. And the real war is just about to begin. I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of The Kilted Christian, which is the second show in the Bards block of Bards Nation Network. Don't forget to go watch Fishers of Men tonight and every night at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And just like in old radio fashion, we sign out with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Thank you all for joining us this evening for episode 144. Good guys don't always wear white. We'll be back tomorrow. Episode 145, MSM Liars Thursday, which will be the last episode of the week, guys. I'm going to miss you, but like I said, you'll be able to find me on Bards FM Podbeam, as well as Frank Speech, pretty much all week. And I think we're going to probably do like 9 hours one day, maybe 5 to 6 hours before I have to hop on my plane and head back over here to Texas. But I thank you all for joining us this evening. Make sure you get over to Bards FM, Fishers of Men, and your night with a little bit of love, a little bit of prayer, and a whole lot of family, guys. We need each other more than we ever have. We are here to be each other's barricades, be each other's strengths, help lift each other up during these times. Thank goodness the Lord doesn't let us all get down at one time, because we need to be the strength that he gives and bestows upon one of us to bring to you guys. Like I said, we are connected to each other. We are connected to each other through God, and that is the most beautiful thing in the world. I love you all very, very much. I will see you tomorrow evening, and God bless.